Today's message is entitled, Yeshua Warns About the Chametz, the Leaven, okay? This is found in Matthew chapter 16. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. We'll beginning in verse 1. And I'll give you a few seconds there to catch your place there. It's a really amazing in that I'm preaching on this word today is that what's coming up very, very soon? Passover. And what are we traditionally to do in our homes? To remove the leaven, okay? Which is a symbol of sin in our lives, right? And so that it's amazing how God's word corresponds with the times that we're living, right? As we enjoy the feasts of the Lord, amen? There was one lady here that's left with her two daughters because their daughters, they needed to go, and that's fine. And so I mentioned to her about our upcoming Passover Seder, and she's really excited about participating with us in that, and also her daughter. She proclaimed that she truly loves the Jewish people. I asked her if she's ever been to a synagogue before. She said, no, she hasn't, but she wants to learn more about the feasts of the Lord. Amen? Because that thief, Constantine, stole from the body of Messiah the feasts of the Lord. And he replaced them with pagan-type celebrations. And we won't be getting into that today, but another time I will. Amen? So let us begin in Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. Then some of the Purishim, which are the Pharisees, so you're learning a little bit of Hebrew as we go along, and the Zadukim, the Sadducees, came to trap Yeshua by asking him to show them a miraculous sign from heaven. But his response was, when it is evening, you say, fair weather ahead, because the sky is red. And in the morning, you say, storm today, because the sky is red and it's overcast. You know how to read the appearance of the sky, but you can't read the signs of the times. Who is he speaking to here? But the supposedly spiritual leaders of the house of Israel. But who is he? He is the good shepherd, the prophet of the Most High, whose calling is to what? To the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So who is he confronting here? In that they don't even know the sign of the times. They've been looking for the Mashiach, the Messiah, to come. He's looking them straight in the eye. They hear, and some of them have witnessed the miracles that he's done, but yet they're blinded. And that's why he gives this illustration to them. You can judge and forecast the weather, but you do not understand the spiritual times that you're now in. Because the literal representative who Moshe said that Abba, Father God, will send you a prophet like myself who shall lead you into all truth. And that there would be a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Eliyahu, who is Elijah. Think about that. In 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating what? Pesach. What have our Jewish people done for centuries? They set a place setting for someone who hasn't come. And faithfully, every year they set that place setting for. And who is that for? Eliyahu the prophet. See the great significance in this? And so what has happened? Abba, Father God, had sent Eliyahu in a young man named Yohanan, the forerunner. And so Yeshua is bringing these things before their eyes. And he's saying to them, you do not discern. Have discernment to understand the spiritual times that you're now living in. Can you imagine that? Looking in the very eyes of God who created all things. Continuing, he says, a wicked and adulterous generation is asking for a sign. It will certainly not be given a sign except the sign of Jonah. And with that, he left them and he went off. And some may be saying, well, why didn't he try to convince them? He didn't need to. The miraculous signs were all around them. But what was the problem? They wanted to see things come from heaven. Heaven was being experienced in their midst because God's holy prophet was bringing heaven down to earth. The blind were healed, given sight. The lame were walking. The dead were being raised, all right? The prophet of the most holy God was walking on water. What more signs from heaven do they need? And so with this, when he said, I give this to you, look to the prophet Jonah. So continuing, and the Talmudim, in crossing over to the other side of the lake, had forgotten to bring any bread. So when Yeshua said to them, watch out, guard yourselves against the Hamats, the leaven of the Perishim and the Zudukim, which are the Pharisees and the scribes. They thought he said it because they hadn't brought bread. So who is Yeshua trying to reach here? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. And who is he communicating with right now? 12 of them that he had picked, hand-picked, who had been locked into doctrine and teachings of men and who were not fulfilling Torah as Adonai desired for them to do. They thought that he said it because they had forgotten the bread. But Yeshua, aware of this, said, little trust you have. Why are you talking with each other about having bread? Don't you understand yet? Don't you remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? And how many baskets you filled? You filled with your own hands. Don't you understand yet? Don't you remember of the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets that you filled? How can you possibly think I'm talking about bread? Guard yourselves from the Hametz of the Perishim and the Zidukim, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood they were to guard themselves not from the yeast for bread, but from the teaching of the Perishim and the Zidukim, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The first and the last verses of this section are basically identical with Matthew 12:38-39. This is why Matthew sees no need to explain this sign of Jonah. This was already explained back in Matthew chapter 12:40. For as just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the depths of the earth. We need to see how verses 1 through 4 are setting up now verses 5 through 12. In Matthew 12, it was the Torah teachers, not the Sadducees, and the Perishim, the Pharisees, who came to Yeshua requesting a sign. But here in Matthew 16, it is the Perishim, the Pharisees, and the Zidukim, the Sadducees, requesting a sign. Only in the good news of Matthew are the Perishim ever paired with the Zidukim, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. And it's only 3 places that it's listed, here in Matthew 16:1, Matthew 3:7, and chapter 22:34. As a general rule, the Perishim, the Pharisees, and the Zedukim, the Sadducees, were bitter enemies. Both false shepherds leading the children of Israel astray. Imagine that. If the whole nation of America was filled with shepherds who were leading Americans astray. That's the context that is happening here. We have already seen that the Perishim added a lot of their own authoritative traditions to the scriptures. They just kept adding more and more and more. And basically this, you can never appease God. Works. Works that they had established. And most of us have come from traditions of men in our religions where there's been works and works added on to the truth. That is a sign of manipulation and control. And that is not of God. That is religion without relationship. And that's why they are false teachers, false leaders, false shepherds. And Yeshua is dealing with them face to face. But yet he's showing them compassion. He gave them, and he said this, I give you one sign. Let's look a little closer to that sign. It's a sign of Jonah, okay, Jonah. And you know what? They were very, very familiar with the book of Jonah, all right? And so when he laid that before them, he knew this, that they would go and search the scriptures so they could find fault in him. Because he did not have their credentials. He was neither a Pharisee, nor was he a Sadducee. And so they went away. Now let's fast forward, because it was now planted in their hearts that for 3 days he would be in the earth, just as Jonah was 3 days in the sea monster. And after those 3 days, he would arise and fulfill Abba, Father, God's will. For what was Jonah sent to? To the very enemy of God. To call them into repentance, that they may, if they repented, receive God's salvation. Who is whom? Yeshua. So you see, even in that story, there's a rebuke. Because here is a prophet of God who does everything possible. He actually buys a ticket on a ship going the opposite direction. And the Lord sends a storm and deals with him for 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a sea monster. So let's fast forward even more. Because you know what? Yeshua's words were burning in their hearts. Because they knew the Spirit of the living God, but they had departed from him in following after their traditions. And think of that morning when the report went out that this prophet of God, who claimed to be the Messiah, rose from the dead. How many of the Purishim, the Pharisees, that day, and the Sadducees, who had the word of God planted in their hearts, of the prophet of the Most High God saying, just like Jonah, so shall I be. It's amazing. Once we get into heaven, we're going to meet some of these Purishim, these Pharisees, and these Zudukim, the Sadducees, and they're going to be brothers in Messiah. So there are times when we go out and we sow seeds of the good news and we don't see the fruit. And we think sometimes, I've wasted my time. I didn't hear what the Spirit of living God wanted me to do. Yeshua's fruit that was planted in their hearts has been giving birth for generations. And it's given birth in you and I. Amen? Amen. Here's the difference between the two. The Zedukim, the Sadducees, on the other hand, accepted only the 5 books of Moses as their final authority. The Pharisees, remember, traditions. The Torah, the teaching, the law. Bereshit, Genesis, Shemot, Exodus, Vayikra, Leviticus, Bamidbar, Numbers, Devarim, Deuteronomy. Everything else was subordinate to Moshe, Moses, and should be accepted only to the rest of the Tanakh, the Old Testament. Can you imagine the debates that they had? Because you know what they were doing? This. The enemy of what? Of my enemy. Two polar opposite groups, false shepherds who were ruling over Israel, came together to go against their what? Their one common enemy. Because not one of them was healing the sick or raising the dead or walking on water. And they saw what was happening here. Their status, their hold on the people was slipping through their fingers. And so they said this, neither one of us can defeat him on our own, so let us join together. Can you imagine the debates that went on? Because these were at polar opposites. Continuing here. They were politically at polar opposites. The Zadokim, which are the Sadducees, were an exclusive class of wealthy aristocrats. So they had a very strong desire to preserve their status quo. They were willing to sacrifice anyone and anything to retain their power. They were usually in favor of doing what it could to keep the Romans happy. Who placed them in power? The Romans. They were not motivated by any dreams of a messianic kingdom. Now, the Purushim, the Pharisees, on the other hand, they were always a threat to the Romans. They were looking for Israel's political and nationalistic prosperity to be restored in the coming kingdom of the Messiah. But this ignorant carpenter who stood before them, he did not match up with their doctrines and their interpretation of the scriptures. So on one hand, the Roman rulers were always trying to avoid trouble with the Purushim. Why? Because they could move and fire up the passions of the people. On the other hand, the Zadokim, the Sadducees, were always anxious to avoid trouble with the Roman rulers. So in light of all this, the fact that the Purushim and the Zadokim, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, came together to test Yeshua is rather significant. In spite of all their differences, they had at least enough in common to agree in their rejection of Yeshua as a promised Messiah. Talk about being blinded. Did they not have the Torah? Did they not supposedly have the Ruach? But what were they leaning on? Their traditions and the interpretation of all the other rabbis and spiritual leaders who were all blind guides leading Israel on the path of destruction. That is what is taking place here. And so Yeshua responds to the Purushim and the Zadokim, the Pharisees and Sadducees together. Yeshua says, when it is evening, you say fair weather ahead because the sky is red. And in the morning you say storm today because the sky is red and overcast. You know how to read the appearance of the sky, but you can't read the signs of the times. These signs of weather wouldn't apply in most places, but they made sense in Israel, where storms and rains always come and arose from the west. The Purushim, the Pharisees, and Zadokim, the Sadducees, predicted the weather based on their interpretations of the sky at sunset in the direction of the Mediterranean Sea and the appearance of the sky at sunrise in the direction of the desert. They could read the signs in the sky, but they couldn't read the far more important signs, the signs of the times, as Yeshua says in Luke chapter 19, 43 through 44. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies, the Romans, will set up a barricade around you and encircle you and hem you in on every side and dash you to the ground, and you and your children within your walls, leaving not one stone standing on another, all because you did not recognize your opportunity when Abba, Father God, offered it to you. And what does he offer? He's looking them straight in the eye. He is the salvation of Israel. the true shepherd of Israel, and these under-shepherds whose he's entrusted to lead the children of Israel, they're blind guides, and they don't know it because they are wrapped into their traditions and their hunger after the here and now and what's in it for themselves. They don't have a heart for the people. It's their status. That's all they desire. The Perushim and the Zedekim have this in common. They are both blinded to the true meaning and significance of what has been happening all around them. They're witnessing miracles, demons being cast out. Yet they're crying for a sign that they can see now at their demand in the heavens. Right here, we're going to stop with this message. Brother Tim, will you come forward and close the service? Thank you.